I must confess at the outset that in sharing a reflection this evening, instead of Father Satish, I feel something like the bat boy who's been asked to pinch hit for Babe Ruth. So let's hope that it goes okay. In the spirit of Father Satish, though, I do have 3 points. For a moment, I'd like all of us to call to mind the last time that we were hurt by something that someone said or did. What was it that happened? How did you respond? Jesus wants to be right in the middle, quite literally, right in the middle of these situations. And we hear in the scriptures today practical wisdom on how to handle them. So the 3 things I'd like to talk about this evening are encounter, which fits in very well, I think, with the retreat. Many of you were here this morning for the very inspiring retreat. The theme of encounter, of changing the weather, and finally, of harmony. So first of all, encounter. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. He lays out a process to follow. First of all, a private conversation with the one who hurt you. You know, it's interesting because, at least naturally for me, this is not my first step. My first step might be something like waiting for that person who has wronged me to come to me, you know, with my arms folded. They'll find out sooner or later that they've done wrong, and they will come and say sorry to me. But this is the opposite of what Jesus proposes to us. First step, the one who's been hurt goes to the one who offended. I was thinking this morning at the retreat about how that's really what God does with us. We're the ones who offended God, and God takes the first step, sending Jesus to be one with us, to show us how deeply God loves us. Pope Francis, too, in the Joy of the Gospel, talks about the church that takes the first step, the church that goes forth. So we see that in the scriptures this evening, what Jesus asks us to do. First step, go and talk with someone one-on-one. If that doesn't work out, bring a couple other people into the conversation. And if you're still not successful, bring in the community, the church. And if all else fails, treat that person as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Jesus really wants us to meet each other, to encounter each other. Appealing to a higher authority is the last resort. You know, I was thinking of different ways that we might appeal to the higher authority first. And living on a college campus, ministering on a college campus, over at the University of Dayton, just a couple came to mind. People breaking up through text messages. In a way, it's a higher authority to avoid the tension, the stress, the vulnerability that comes with the one-on-one encounter. On Facebook, I have seen people vent all kinds of their own deep marital problems, criticizing this person or the other, doing everything but going to the one that they really need to talk to. I'm not judging those things. I'm saying that Jesus gives us a challenging way. Go to that person first. And finally, he says, if everything fails, treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. What does Jesus do with those people? He loves them, he invites them, he dines with them. So we're not off the hook no matter what. He wants us to encounter one another in love, in difficult conversations. Secondly, changing the weather. God assigned the prophet Ezekiel as a watchman to dissuade the wicked from his way. I read in a commentary that because Babylon, or the Babylonians, were coming to destroy Jerusalem, the prophet's warning was literally the difference between life and death. Speak the word. In that context, the difference between life and death for the city. Now, in our lives, it's rarely going to be that dramatic, right? Where if we encounter someone in the way Jesus prescribes, it's going to be a life and death situation. But I was thinking about how if we do, this week, if I have this opportunity, can I practice this way of reconciliation? If I can do that, bit by bit, if we can do that, we somehow change the weather of our lives, of the lives of those around us. I don't know how many of you have been to Hawaii, but the Marianists have been there for 130 years and serve at Chaminade University in Honolulu. And while I was living there, I had the opportunity to go to the island of Molokai. And that island, the north shore of it, is jagged cliffs with a harsh sea. And what happened was after those cliffs were formed, a small little volcano bubbled up and created a peninsula. This peninsula now is famous the world over. It's called Kalaupapa. It's a place where St. Damien of Molokai, or St. Damien the leper, ministered to people who were sent in what they called shipments from all the other Hawaiian islands because they had Hansen's disease. And people in the state were afraid. How do we handle this? So people were sent in shipments to exile, to be away from their families forever. When Damien got there, let's just say that there wasn't much of a strong social fabric. There was despair, there was hopelessness, there was helplessness. And literally, the peninsula itself was quite bare. There weren't many trees growing. There's a Christmas song, you know, that says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth." Damien volunteered to go. They only wanted someone to go for a while. He volunteered to go and to stay so that people would know that God hadn't abandoned them. And I want to say that that yes of his changed the weather on Molokai. Where there once was despair, you had a band. Beautiful celebrations. People coming together in love. And I think a wonderful symbol of this, I mentioned the bareness of the peninsula when he was there. Damien took seeds and he planted pine trees all along the coastline. He never got to see them grow to maturity. When I was there, I saw those trees. Grand, majestic. Other people also started planting those kinds of pine trees on the island, and literally, the rainfall that Molokai receives today is more because of those trees. They have literally changed the weather on the island. I'm not sure if I'm making my point clearly, but my point is this. If we take the advice Jesus offers us in the scriptures, take the risk of encountering someone one-on-one when we're hurt, to reconcile, it's like planting a seed for one of those trees. Slowly, bit by bit, it changes the weather of the whole island of our lives. Everyone we touch, everyone who touches us, changes the weather. Last but not least, harmony. You know, I don't think Jesus just wants to give us challenging advice. His goal is harmony, unity. He says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." And wherever two or three agree, wherever two agree, the prayer is listened to and answered. The word for agree in Greek is symphonein. It's where we get the word symphony. Symphonein. If two or three agree, this is what he wants. Oneness, togetherness, unity. A couple years back, I was in New York and got to visit Central Park. And part of the park there is what's called Strawberry Fields. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but there's a beautiful mosaic on the ground of black and white tiles dedicated to John Lennon, simply with the word imagine. And each day, there's someone who sits by that mosaic and takes roses and carnations and candles and so on and will make a peace sign or a heart or all kinds of other just symbols on that mosaic. And I was there with a group of students when we arrived, almost out of nowhere, a high school choir came, and they stood around in a circle, and they started to sing a gospel song based on one of the Psalms, "How good it is How pleasant it is when sisters and brothers live together in unity. In unity, in unity. And literally, they were singing in harmony, in a circle, around the word imagine. I said, this is it. This is what Jesus wants. Harmony, symphony, unity. And I think about the altar here. It doesn't have the word imagine on it. But I think this is what Jesus invites us to do. Elsewhere in scriptures, he says, if you've got a problem with someone and you want to bring your gift to the altar, go first and reconcile, then bring your gift. Around the altar, we're called to imagine another way of being, another way of handling hurts, where we become one, the body of Christ. So my prayer this evening is that we can do that. We can open our hearts when they're hurt to take the first step and encounter one another. That we can have the courage to try slowly, bit by bit, by loving, as St. Paul says, to change the weather of our lives, our community, the people around us. And finally, to really come together as one in unity. I'm a Marianist. I love the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I'd like to close this just by saying, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, pray for us. Amen.